The U.S. and China's economies are in danger as Beijing says no bailout as Evergrande defaults on its dollar-denominated bonds, leaving global investors wondering if they're going to be high and dry. Meanwhile, President Biden looks to the Fed for a bailout as inflation spirals out of control. But will the Fed crash the global economy as it tries to put the inflationary fire out? Answer those questions and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as we pick up these two big stories as China attempts to contain its housing disaster that is crumbling right before our eyes. And while they seem to think they've got it under control, contagion risks are already spreading, leaving everyone wondering if this is going to be the next great financial crisis. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., inflation is just running rampant. And with the Fed set to meet next week and largely expected to accelerate its balance sheet taper, are they really actually going to crash the global economy again? Well, let's pick these stories up. But first, I want to let you know that I've been planning and meaning to do a follow-up and share with you the questions from the Dr. Lacey Hunt interview several weeks ago. And let me show you how you can get those. And here you go. All you have to do is go to my page. Now, if you haven't been there before, just scroll down to the video and right-click where it says my name and open up in a new window. And if you miss Wednesday's video, you're missing out on a lot of great information. When you're there, click on the community tab. This video will be private for you and my fans. So check this out. Go to the community tab and enjoy the video. But let's get into today's topics as China tries to manage global message on the Evergrande collapse that they said wasn't. And now it sure is. A barrage of commentary from China's top institution shows authorities are stepping up efforts to manage the international message on China Evergrande's collapse, this coming from Bloomberg, even if the developer itself is staying silent about its default status. English language statements from agencies, including the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission, along with a recorded broadcast from the People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang on Thursday, suggest Beijing is seeking to target global investors with a clear message. There won't be a bailout of Evergrande, but the risks are being ring-fenced. Well, at least they're hoping those risks are being ring-fenced, because if they're not, then it's set to spiral out of control. And we already know, because we've been following this, that it's not looking good for containment. But Evergrande bondholders are yet to be paid as the grace period ends, this coming from Monday. And here you can see it was $82.5 million of coupons that were due, and a default would be the first by Evergrande on public dollar notes. And sure enough, they didn't make it, as Evergrande was declared in default as huge restructuring looms. The rating cut to restricted default by Fitch after they missed their coupons, and Fitch downgraded Caixa. Now remember, they're trying to ring fence Evergrande, and they downgraded Caixa, another real estate firm, after $400 million bond unpaid. Long considered by many investors as too big to fail, which should sound very familiar to many U.S. investors, Evergrande has now become the largest casualty of Chinese President Xi Jinping's campaign to tame the country's over-indebted conglomerates and overheated property market. As we've talked about in this show, there's no chance that he can be successful at it. It's possible, maybe probable, but the likeliness of being able to contain this credit without bursting the bubble? Well, we already know how this goes, but let's keep going with the story. Before this week, Chinese borrowers had defaulted on $10.2 billion of offshore bonds in 2021, with real estate firms making up 36% of the total. So over one-third of all defaults coming out of the real estate market, according to data by Bloomberg. While it's likely to help prevent nightmare scenarios of an uncontrolled Evergrande collapse, authorities have made it clear that they have no intention of bailing out the property empire started by billionaire Hua Kaiyan 25 years ago. In a pre-recorded video message at a seminar in Hong Kong on Thursday, People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang described Evergrande's situation as a market event that should be dealt with in a market-oriented way. Now, if you're not sure what market-oriented way means, it means, hey, you invested in this company, not our problem if you don't get paid. And remember, we talked about in the past how Beijing made it clear that they're going to prioritize the people who bought property and not the debt holders. And now we're seeing the People's Bank of China saying, hey, you invested, you might lose. Let's keep going. The Shenzhen-based developer, which disclosed more than $300 billion of total liabilities as of June, said in a brief exchange filed on December 3rd that it will actively engage with offshore creditors on a restructuring plan. And all that translates into is, hey, we'll try to pay you, but not the amount you asked that we promised you, and we're not sure when, but we'd really like to do this to get out of default status, because when we're in default, guess what the banks don't want to do? And guess what we need? We need money, and we need it bad. But with Chinese authorities now calling the shots, the developer has stayed largely silent on the details of what its restructuring might look like. Possibly because it doesn't have a plan. And Evergrande follows seeing an unpaid bills from small Chinese firms. And this is really the contagion effect. And I want you to be thinking as we go to the next page here is what happened here in the U.S., particularly with the pandemic. Who were the biggest losers? Small businesses, small mom and pop businesses, sole proprietors, some mid-sized firms who did not have capital to the access to the capital markets and were just out of luck, and they ran out of money and it didn't work. So while China is saying, look, we're going to ring fence this whole Evergrande story, well, it's the contagion to the small and mid-sized companies, and not only that, but all the people that bought property. Check this out. Here you can see the defaults of slow-moving crises of companies, notable companies, according to Bloomberg, and China's property sector isn't just hurting bondholders and people waiting for their apartments. Thousands of small suppliers of everything from tiles to cleaning services are waiting to get paid by the likes of China Evergrande. And that is the issue, because the longer they don't get paid, well, that has knock-on effects to the rest of the economy, and that gets dangerous. But not to worry, in case you are, Beijing actually has a plan. And no, probably not what you think. Beijing reins in China's central bank, so they go point the finger at someone else, as the PBOC was never independent but has tried to establish good communication with markets, and Xi Jinping's financial shakeup is changing that. And earlier this week, pressured by senior leaders worried about plunging economic growth, the PBOC said it would ease bank reserve requirements. Hey, I thought a moment ago they said that they were going to let the market decide. Yeah, well, that is until you realize just how big your bubble is. And throughout history, central bankers have always chosen to continue to inflate the bubble, even though they know it's eventually going to pop, rather than be the ones on their watch to let it. Let's keep going here. Effectively making more cash available for bank lending. The move went against policy signals it had sent weeks earlier, and came as the central bank and other financial institutions came under scrutiny by Beijing, part of Mr. Xi's effort to curb capitalist forces in the economy. And so you can see it's not just ending here, but keep going, because in weeks since, China's leadership has come under pressure to tamp down turmoil in the property sector, which is now threatening to severely cut into services and manufacturing activities. And again, keep this in mind. You're a small business that you provide goods and services to the housing developers. If you're not getting paid by one, what do you think the rest of them aren't going to do? And that has a direct impact on your business, and that's how things go wrong, and go wrong very quickly. A senior economic advisor to Chinese leaders said China's much slower than expected economic expansion in the third quarter at 4.9% led top leaders to decide to bolster support for the economy despite the central bank's preference to maintain a more conservative policy stance. China Evergrande Group Chairman Huaikan Yan, according to Wall Street Journal, was forced to sell pledged shares in the company. Notably forced, not something here in the U.S., forced to sell shares in the company. According to disclosures, it came the day after the developer was officially labeled a defaulter for the first time. Huai sold about 278 million shares on December 6th through 9th, equivalent to just over a 2% stake, according to filings in the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. His holding has now fallen to 59.8%, and the developer remains silent about its default status, even as a barrage of commentary from China's top institutions show authorities are stepping up efforts to manage the international message on Evergrande's crisis. And all you can see is all they care about is exactly how the rest of the world perceives this, as they hope to get it under control. But once you start a bubble or popping a bubble, you can't stop it. Now, if you're concerned about any of this risk to your portfolio, be sure to check out Portfolio Shield. You won't regret doing that. Now, let's talk about what's coming next week, because we saw today the CPI index went out of control at some ridiculously high levels. And I've been cautioning you, this is becoming a highly political issue. And sure enough, we heard from the president this morning saying that inflation slowing after hitting 39-year high. Well, you better hope it's slowing, Mr. President, because you're calling the Fed to bail you out. And boy, that's not going to go well. Today's numbers reflect the pressures that the economies around the world are facing as we emerge from a global pandemic, prices are rising, Biden said in a statement after a Labor Department report showed a 6.8% annual gain in the Consumer Price Index for November. Even with this progress, price increases continue to squeeze family budgets, he said. Quote, we are making progress on pandemic-related challenges to our supply chain, which make it more expensive to get goods on shelves. And I expect more progress on that in the weeks ahead. And boy, he better hope so. But one thing he is doing is calling on the Fed. But let's take a look at today's numbers and show you just how far out they are. The month-over-month number up 0.8%, huge number. The year-over-year change, now you have to go back to early 1980, around 1982, 83, before you saw where the CPI on a year-over-year basis was this high, and it was decelerating. Now, this is leading some people to think that we're heading into a 1970s-like boom. Well, not quite, and we'll get into that here shortly because the Fed's going to make a massive mistake. And the U.S. CPI is taking out the food and energy, or what's called the core CPI, year-over-year, up 4.9%. Again, last not seen since 1990s, when we actually went into a soft recession by 1994. All right, so let's take a look at the CPI because one of the concerns here as we get into the data is it's broad-based. And boy, if there's one thing the Fed really wants to see, broad-based inflation, because they know how to put the fire out. Problem is, they're going to put a lot of other things out with it. Let's take a look here. As we can see, all items up 6.8%. Food, 6.1%. Energy, still rocketing higher, 33.3%. How about commodities, less food and energy? You've got them up at 9.4%. New vehicles, 11%. Used vehicles, still 31%. How about medical? That's the only one that wasn't up. Apparel up 5%, which is interesting. As people, maybe they're going back to work. Shelters, we've got in shelter inflation running up near the 4%. So you truly, we have broad-based inflation. And from the Fed's perspective, that gives them the green light. But remember, I just said moments ago, everybody thinks that this is 1970 style and interest rates need to go up. But yet, according to Bloomberg here, bond market shows inflation is transitory, according to Citi's bail-in. And well, sure enough, here's the 30-year Treasury yields this morning. Now, it did close higher on the day going into close, but look at this. The CPI report comes out, and yields go down. So what does that mean? What's going on? Because the market, well, they don't understand. This isn't the 1970s anymore, and yet people are hung up on that. And let me show you, because it doesn't work the way people think. The CPI doesn't lead interest rates. The CPI is a lagging indicator. Interest rates are not a lagging indicator at all. It's the other way around. Interest rates are telling you where inflation is going and what's wrong with the economy. And here you can see back in the 1970s, you did see the consumer price index rise and you saw interest rates rise as they were dealing with actual money expanding into the economy. But that has changed. We're not in that same sort of environment anymore. Now you see when inflation goes up, yields go down. Inflation up, yields down. Inflation up, yields down. Inflation up, yields down. Inflation up, yeah, yields downish, up, down. You get it? Everyone thinks inflation goes up. Yields should be just literally going vertical here, but they're not, because what it's telling you is there isn't enough money in the system to support these higher prices. And then when you understand how the monetary system works and you understand the bond market, how do you create money in the financial system? Well, it's not through money printing, because we can't do that. It's not from the government borrowing money, because that doesn't work either. It's from the commercial banks. And when do people borrow more money? When interest rates are high or low? And that starts to make sense. Interest rates are going down, telling you that that's where it needs to go to create the money to support these higher asset prices. Also telling you financial conditions are tightening, and also suggesting, as we just saw on this chart, that consumer price index is likely to go down. And here's some ammo for the Fed. They've got the U.S. jobless claims fall to the lowest level in 52 years as unemployment filings fell to 184,000, down 43,000 the month before. This is huge. And even all the pandemic claims and other claims, down 350,000 to now less than 2 million Americans on some form of assistance. And that number expected to fall even further in the weeks to come. And now when we start looking at the Fed, who is more than likely going to follow through with an accelerated balance sheet taper, the question you should be asking yourself, the question I'm asking is this going to crash the economy? And the answer is yes. And let me show you why. Let's go back and look at the history of the consumer price index against the federal funds rate. Now, mind you, the federal funds rate is zero, and this will be the first time that we see the Fed trying to contain inflation by first tapering its balance sheet rather than raising the federal funds rate. But let's take a look here. Is what do you see? The consumer price index in blue is rising. The Fed raises rates, and what happens? Does it bring consumer prices under control? Absolutely, it does. How about going into the dot-com bubble? Rates were rising, or inflation was rising. Fed rose rate, brought rates up, and that took care of inflation. How about going into the financial crisis? Consumer prices getting out of control? Fed said no, they took care of that, and then got us a recession. And how about along the way? Here you can see again, inflation getting a little bit out of control. Coming out of 2015, Fed raises rates. Boom. Oh yeah, they contain inflation, all right. That's not the problem. The question is, and let's go back, is you notice what happens every time the Fed contains inflation? Recession, 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 recession. And that's the answer, my friends, of what is to come. And when you take a look at the labor market now, what happens when you start all of a sudden trying to contain inflation? Well, it's not pretty. And here we go. Let's take a look. This is the non-farm payroll report change on thousands of persons. And you can see, and I've cut off the recent history just so we can get rid of that pandemic swing out of the chart so we can look at. But what I want you to know is every time the Fed's bringing inflation down, it's usually being led by a slowdown in employment. And then the two, as we get into more modern times, as employment slows down, so and CPI goes down with it. And then you see again, going to the great financial crisis. And what do we see now with the last non-farm payroll report? Well, what we saw, the fact that it wasn't that many jobs created, leading the Fed to believe it was due to a tight labor market. Now, if you missed the Wednesday show, go back and watch it because we really cover this in detail. It's not a tight labor market. We're at maximum employment and the Fed's going to tighten, and that's not going to end well. History shows that both the U.S. and China's economy are in danger now. China in danger due to the real estate market, and the U.S. economy in danger due to the Fed. And with that, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Appreciate all of you being fans. We'll see you back for those of you who are on the watch the Sunday night chart show on Sunday. Of course, we'll be back on Monday as we head in to the FOMC meeting next week. And no doubt, there'll be some fireworks. Stay tuned. Have a great weekend. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. Feels not to be construed as recognition or solicitation by a security financial instrument or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisor Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.